Psalm chapter number 40. So keep Psalm chapter 40 open. You're also going to need your song book. Yes, you're going to need your song book. So, very good. Amen. Psalm chapter number 40, song book. Everybody ready? Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that this message would be a help and a strength to each and every one of us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for changing our heart, for touching our lives in such a miraculous way. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm chapter number 40, verse number 1, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And so that verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord. Now, maybe I shouldn't divulge this much information to you, but Cheryl and I, we had a song. You know what I'm saying? You date, you get married, there's that special song on the top 40 that this is our song, and every time it would come on, we'd look at each other and blah blah blah. So I don't want to get all mushy on you, but we had our song, and we had our couple of songs that, you know, those favorite songs, and man, you should have seen our living room when we got married. I had speakers that stood about this high. Marantz speakers, BAMO, and a Marantz system, and my neighbors loved us. I mean, they just absolutely loved us to death, and we had our records that were lined up underneath the record player and all of that. And we gave our life to the Lord, and the Lord changed our hearts towards what we were listening to. And one of the things that I learned when I was a kid about music is that when God created us, our bodies, and I wish Ed was here, because this is his field, you know. He can, you know, when I talk about doctor stuff, I look towards Ed, he'll go. You know, and so anyway, when I was a kid learning about music, one of the things that I was taught was that our bodies are a walking musical instrument. Our heartbeats and everything about our body has a rhythm. And have you ever noticed that when you play something like acid rock or something that is very out of beat, if you will, you kind of get a little weird? I mean, your body, okay? Well, the reason for that is because you're pouring into your body, your mind, things that contradict how God created us. Okay? And what he does when he saves us is he helps us to realize that, wow, there's music that coincides with the music of our body, and then there's other music that is not. Why do you think David, when he played for King Saul, why do you think it brought him peace? Because of the style of music he was playing. There's certain music that will bring you peace in your heart, peace in your mind. There's other music that does just the opposite. And so God created our bodies in such a way. And by the way, that's everybody loves music. Not everybody can sing, but everybody loves music. Everybody loves to in our Bible, we have a whole book that's dedicated towards song. If you go through from the beginning to the end, they're singing, they're songs, they're singing in heaven. Why is singing and why are songs so prevalent? It's to praise the Lord. It's to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in song. And when songs are done right, those songs interact with our entire being of salvation. Now, all that being said, we've been singing since we were, even before we, when we were just starting to learn how to talk. I mean, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, right? I mean, everybody remembers that. I don't know why. I don't even understand why we sing it. But the stars twinkle, all right? Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. Personally, I never wondered where they were, but through the song, we were taught how I wonder where you are up above the world so high, all right? So we twinkle, twinkle, little star. What about John Jacob? Ah, yes, Jangleheimer Schmidt. It's a catchy tune, isn't it? John Jacob, Jangleheimer Schmidt. All right. And so we have all of these kids' songs that we sang when we were growing up. Why did our parents sing songs to us? What was the reason? Song is a natural part of life. It's natural because God made us as a musical being. Hollywood was pretty smart in this area. And what I mean by Hollywood, I'm talking about the nature of the theme songs. Now, if you were to go back to, some of you aren't that old, but if you were to go back to some of the TV shows and things that were out, they created these theme songs to where it would stick with you, right? Okay, how about this? Dun da dun da dun dun da dun dun da dun. What's that? Huh? No. Who is it? The Odd Couple. Dun da dun da dun dun da dun da. What is Get Smart? Yeah, but and then you have Gilligan's Island. You have all of these TV shows that everybody except for Paul, when you hear it, you recognize it. You know, Paul. In your defense, it was probably my singing. I get it. Yeah, I get it. So my point is that even Hollywood recognized this aspect. Hammerschmidt, what's those people that with Sound of Music and Hammerstein, and they created several movies that were just musical movies, and they were catchy. Sometimes people would even watch them not because they liked the plot of the movie, but because they liked the songs that were in the movie. You know, they are just musical. So Hollywood understood all of that. probably when this became personal to me was when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I worked at McDonald's. And in the McDonald's, I don't even know if they play music now. I don't pay attention much to it. But when I worked at McDonald's, we had music always playing. If the restaurant was busy, okay, if the restaurant was busy, we always put on, I mean, they taught us this. And when you went on board and they were teaching you all the aspects of working at McDonald's, they taught you, if we're busy, what we need to do is put on fast beat music. Why do you put on fat? Well, because there's somebody else that needs that table. And McDonald's knew enough about music to know that if we just put on fast beat music, they'll eat faster, they'll talk faster, they're ready to go, man. And you know what? It worked. But during the down hours, during the times when you weren't busy, man, McDonald's wanted you to hang out. You're going to come up, buy an ice cream cone. You're going to buy an apple pie or a cherry pie, and you're going to sit around and you're going to talk. Well, how did they get you to sit around? They put on soft music. Have you noticed that when you go out to a romantic restaurant, they're not playing Led Zeppelin? I mean, there's more to it than just the fact that Led Zeppelin songs do not match they don't match because the idea of going to a restaurant like that is to sit down, take your time, don't hurry, enjoy your company, enjoy all of that stuff. And so music plays a tremendous part in all of this. Now, in our passage, God declares here that he gives us a new song. Now, obviously, David was going through some issues. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord. It's almost as if David's saying, okay, where are you? I'm waiting patiently. No. He prayed, didn't hear. Prayed, didn't hear. Have you ever prayed and didn't hear anything after the first prayer? You got to wait on the Lord. You got to wait patiently. But you continue to wait and God will hear you. He will answer. He'll give you the answer at the appointed time. He'll give you the answer when you need to hear the answer. And so David prayed. Whatever he was going through, he prayed, and he heard my cry. So he was obviously in some kind of distress here. But in verse number 2, he says, he brought me up, another sign of he was in distress. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Has God ever done that for you? Man, you were in a state where you didn't know how you were going to get out. You didn't know where your help was going to come from. You prayed. Might have been a day, might have been 2 days, might have been 5 days, might have been a month. But you kept praying for God to work and hear your cry. And all of a sudden, God reaches down out of heaven and he pulls you up. Have you ever tried to get out of a miry clay? Yeah, that mud kind of sucks you up. You try to pick your feet up and usually your feet come out of your boots. And yet God picked David up and set him on solid ground. Now, I don't know about you, but when you get out of that situation, and now everything is safe and peaceful, there's a sigh of relief. I remember the first time that I had a 14-foot John boat with a Evinrude kicker on it, and I took Cheryl's dad out fishing one time. And this was in Florida. And he said, well, where are we going? I said, we're going to fish underneath the Skyway Bridge today. He says, we're going to take this thing under the Skyway. I mean, it was a good distance for a John boat. But if you read the literature, the literature says you can't sink one of those things. I took them at their word. Amen? So we would go out. But if you know anything about Florida, storms kind of pop up out of nowhere all of a sudden. And so we were out. We saw a storm kind of coming up. The wind was picking up. So we pulled anchor. We started heading back. And it was about 30, 40 feet of water where we were. And so the waves started getting pretty heavy. By the time we got halfway back, we were sitting in water, and the water was almost all the way to the top of the boat. Now, I didn't tell him. I told him, this thing won't sink. They told me it's not going to sink. But in my mind, I'm thinking, this thing better not sink. You know? And when we finally got back to shore, it never sank. It never sank. But when we finally got back to shore and I put my feet on hard, solid ground, I was pretty happy. I was pretty happy. There were many times boating, we got caught in a situation where, man, when you're finally on solid ground, you're really thankful. Spiritually speaking, there was a time in my life where I just didn't know how things were going to go. I made a lot of bad decisions deliberately. Life was against me, so to speak, because of my poor choices. And my life was crumbling around me, to be honest with you. And the only thing that saved me was I got on my knees and I cried out to God. And I didn't have to wait patiently like David did in that situation. It was an immediate, overwhelming presence of God. And from that point forward, I never looked back. Never. The reason is because standing on solid ground was so much sweeter, so much better than that miry clay. And so God began to put a new song in my heart. And there was a day when Cheryl and I sat down together and I said, honey, you know our song? God's given us a new song. And every one of those records went in the garbage can. Come to me after church, I'll tell you what a record is. But every one of them, there was no turning back for us. There was no singer in the world that had the words to express my gratitude, except for God. And so, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Has he given you a new song? I hope he has. I want to share with you, and keep your songbook handy, because you need to turn to page number 147. And while you're turning there, God gave a song of salvation to a man named John Newton. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. They're just bullet point examples. I'm not going into the examples in any kind of depth. I just want to give you a couple of bullet points just to kind of help you to see how God gave these men and women a song in their heart. But this song that we're talking about here is a song of salvation. John Newton, his dad was a shipmaster on a slave ship. At age 11, he began sailing with his dad around the world. As a young adult, he was captured into the Royal Navy. In other words, they enlisted him. They took him. You didn't have a choice. They just took him. John Newton had experience on a ship, so he was elevated to the Royal Navy. He attempted desertion and was publicly flogged and stripped of his rank and diminished into a common seaman. He, in our terminology, he got his stripes taken away. He even during this time attempted suicide. Newton sailed on a slave ship out of Africa, trading goods for slaves to England, and later was given up into slavery himself to an African duchess. Can you imagine the turnabout that God gave him for selling slaves, and now he finds himself as a slave himself? He was later able to sail back to England as the African duchess released him of his duties. He sailed back to England on a merchant ship where a storm almost destroyed the ship. What saved this ship from being destroyed was John Newton as a lost man. He called out to God. He didn't know what else to do. He called out to God. And when he called out to God, God saved not only his life, but every member on that ship. On the way back to England, he began reading the Bible. He was so thankful that God saved the ship. He was so thankful that God saved their lives that he started reading the Bible. I almost want to think that he was reading the Bible out of gratitude for what God had saved them from. And it was then when God began working on his heart about salvation. After reaching England, he was hired as the first mate of a slave ship. Using those slaves, God broke his heart and he accepted Christ as his Savior. You know, after reading the Word of God and seeing how God feels about slavery, John Newton was so convicted about his lost state that he could not continue treating people the way that he had been treating him. And when he accepted Christ as a Savior, God put amazing grace on his heart, and he began penning these words. And those words are, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." A wretch? A slave owner? Selling human flesh for goods? Yeah, that's a wretch. "A wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun." So God took the circumstance of a man's life, saved his soul, and he put a song of salvation in his heart. You know, when I got saved, various songs in the hymnal came alive to me. To me, they took on new meaning. As a lost person singing songs like Amazing Grace, they were just catchy tunes. But as a saved person, thinking about how God had brought me through so many dangerous times, it is Amazing Grace, isn't it? Not only He gives us songs of salvation, but He also gives us songs of life's circumstances. In life's circumstances, I want you to turn to 573. 573, and for this, we're talking about a lady named Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was 6 weeks old when she caught a cold and inflammation affected her eyes. Their regular family doctor was away and could not get to her, and obviously this was back in a time when you couldn't just catch a plane. And a guest physician filling in for the doctor recommended a mustard plaster as treatment, which eventually blinded her. At age 15, her parents sent her to New York, the New York Institute for the Blind. It was during her time there at the New York Institute for the Blind that it was there that she learned how to play not only the piano but also the guitar. She later taught in a blind school and married a blind man. She is noted for penning over 8,000 hymns in her lifetime. God had put a new song in her heart. The song on page 573 is one of those songs that I believe speaks to her situation so intently. When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepares me for a mansion in the sky. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears shall ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him. How can a blind lady know what the Savior looks like? I shall know Him. As redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hand. And so God gave this lady a song out of life circumstances. Life circumstances that many people have turned away from the Lord and used those circumstances to curse Him. Take your songbook and turn to 478, and while you do, I want to talk to you a little bit about a song of struggles. Horatio Spafford was a prominent lawyer in Chicago. And during the 1871 Chicago fire, that fire destroyed much of Horatio Spafford's real estate investments. 2 years later, he decided to take his family on a family vacation to England, where D.L. Moody was going to be preaching. Can you imagine taking a ship voyage to hear a preacher on vacation? Wish we had the love of preaching the way that they did. Staying behind to finish some pending business, he sent his wife and 4 daughters ahead, purposing to meet them later. While his family was crossing the Atlantic, another ship struck theirs, and 226 people died. Once his wife was rescued to England, she sent a telegram to her husband with these two words, saved one. One person saved. He hurriedly journeyed to her, and as he passed over the spot where his children died, where the point of accident was, God gave him the song that we have before us tonight. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. I wonder, can you and I pin words like this if we lost our family, save one? Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this bliss assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so. It is well with my soul. With broken heart for his family, he still had a praise to God. God put a song in his heart. I want you to turn to the last hymn that we're going to look at today, 243. And as you turn there, I want to talk to you a little bit about Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts was raised in a Christian home. He pastored a very large church in London. As a matter of fact, he is noted for being the father of hymnody. He wrote the first English hymn. Now, prior to this first English hymn, they would sing in churches Calvin's hymn. Calvin's hymns were more psaltic, where they would take the psalms and they would sing the psalms in church. They had strong Old Testament overtones in doctrine to their songs. God put it on Isaac Watts' heart to bring the New Testament truth of salvation into the songs. And so God put a desire for him to write these songs so that we can sing about Jesus Christ in our church. And so he began to pin down these words of this song. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Isaac Watts, desiring to sing specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. I want you to look in your Bible at verse number 5. of Psalm 40. Now, this is after the Lord had picked up David, put him on a solid ground, put a new song in his heart. David began to bless the Lord. And David says this, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." I want you to start thinking right now of all the times that God has put you on solid ground. Here's what we would do. We would think of a time that happened a year ago, and then something 6 months ago would pop in our minds, and something 20 years ago would pop in our mind, and something, and all through our life, God, the Holy Spirit, would bring things to our mind, popping them up. They can't be set in order. But one thing that we can conclude, there are too many to number. There are too many to number. You know what that tells me? There's still songs to write. God is orchestrating your life, and He's taking these circumstances of your life, and He wants you to use your life to pen words of praise to your God. What has He done for you? If God has given you musical abilities, start pinning these words down when God brings you through a circumstance. When peace like a river. I've had a lot of circumstances in my life where I didn't know what to do. I can't sing worth a lick. And I certainly can't pin any music down. But boy, I'll tell you what. My God gets the praise. Oftentimes He'll bring a hymn to mind. And that hymn is just on my lips to sing to His glory for what He just brought me through. He put a new song in my heart. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let's stand to our feet and we'll pray. Father, thank You for Your salvation. Not just the salvation of our soul, although if that's all You ever do, You deserve all the praise and glory. But Father, I'm also speaking about the times of salvation where we found ourselves in a circumstance in our life and it was Your hand that picked us up. What a great Savior You are. What a mighty God You are. Thank You for always attending to us. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. Maybe you just want to come to the altar tonight and praise God. Let your tears flow down upon His altar. Tears of praise, tears of joy, tears of thanksgiving. Go ahead and come forward if you will. Stay even.
soul. Oh.